You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Welcome back to our show this morning. It's been a month or so since we've been on the air together, so welcome back to everybody who listens to our program. It is 9 a.m. here in Chicago on a beautiful Monday morning, the 20th of July, and we are going to talk this morning. We're going to have a guest on the line here in a second when he joins us. We're going to have Mr. Peter Breen on the radio with us this morning. He is with the Thomas More Society, and he will be talking about a positive development. Actually, it's a very significant positive development as it relates to a law that was passed by the General Assembly back in, believe it or not, 1995, which will, for the first time in the state of Illinois, mandate that we will have parental notification as it regards to a minor's decision to have an abortion in our state. It's been quite a journey in terms of this law and trying to get it passed, and Pete will be on the air with us here in a second to describe that law, and he was more instrumental, in fact, about passing the, or rather advocating in court, the appeals that went on. And also what we want to try to do this morning is to talk a little bit about, after the parental notification statute will go into enactment on August 4th, where do we go from there as a community, as a state? There are so many challenges ahead of us with the current administration and the way Congress is comprised. And one of the big issues in the campaign was what should our societies be? What should our society's public policy be with regard to extending rights to the unborn? What is the best way to address this issue? There are many different philosophies and many different perspectives about the issue. We want to talk about that. And also, if we have time this morning, we also want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in Congress with regard to the healthcare reform legislation that's being debated in Washington. Both chambers have taken up different aspects of the healthcare reform legislation, and the president has been quite vocal and quite adamant about his desire to see healthcare reform passed, hopefully, before they adjourn in August is his goal. But for those of us in the Catholic community, this is an interesting public policy question with regard to what is the best way to adequately provide insurance for those that don't have it. And also the key question in the Catholic community is what should the mandates be or not be as it relates to elective procedures such as abortion, sterilizations, and other morally objectionable procedures, because that is an underlying current in the recent debate in Congress. So with us now is Peter Breen. We hope he's on the air with us. And what we want to do at the beginning of the show today is to talk about I believe it's the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and Pete will straighten us out if I got it right. But let's first of all check. Peter, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Bob?
I'm terrific. How was your weekend? And thanks for joining us.
Well, you know, my weekend was great. I mean, we're still celebrating this victory. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic by saying it was the best. It's the greatest pro-life victory we've won in this state since Roe v. Wade.
It is, Pete. And thanks. You know, you're absolutely right. And I'm a little concerned. I know the decision just came down. I think it was last Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. And I really don't think enough people know about it. And that was the reason, one of the reasons we wanted to do the show today, is to make sure that people know that this is a significant, significant victory. And it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, you know, I was at my parish festival this weekend, and I was talking to folks, and they're folks that keep up with pro-life issues, and many of them, because they were busy with the summer things and their families, they didn't know.
And, they don't know. Yeah.
It's incredible. And, you know, there are some folks, in fact, probably the majority of folks, thought it was already the law.
That's right. You know, Pete, let's back up for a second. And so, in essence, what we really want listeners to know is what? That effective, we believe, what is the date? August 4th?
Well, right now, the best guess is August 4th.
Okay.
That the Parental Notice of Abortion Act of 1995 will be effective 14 years late.
14 years late, a lot of journeys in the court and legislation, et cetera. And I have to say that we should remind our listeners here that they, in part, had a lot to do with the final enforcement of this law. We've seen a couple of attempts in the last couple of years that the legislature is trying to undo the law before it even went into effect. And so people listening to the program should be very grateful and also congratulate themselves that due to their efforts, we now have some significant progress in our state, something we've been waiting, as you said, since 1995.
Yeah. Well, a lot of folks had to come together to get this done. We were glad as Thomas More Society to be involved in it from 2005 when one of our special counsels, Paul Linton, who is a constitutional law expert, realized that the Illinois Supreme Court, by certain procedural rules being issued, could revive this act. And he realized that there was a different composition of the court, as a more, we've got a pretty good court in Illinois, which is a blessing at this time. So they issued a rule to implement this act, and all of a sudden in 2006, we realized that it could be done. The Attorney General went to court, and she had to go back to court. There was some wrangling there. And, we lost in the trial court, but there was a lot of work after the loss in the trial court by the Catholic community in particular and the Catholic Conference to urge strongly that state's attorneys and the Attorney General appeal this and appeal it in a vigorous way so that we could have our parental notice law. And because of that great work, an appeal was pursued. The Thomas More Society intervened on behalf of two downstate state's attorneys, both pro-life, one Republican, one Democrat. And we just, finally won this past week in the Seventh Circuit, and again, August 4th, that's our best guess, and without any further shenanigans, that'll be the day that, you can't take a 14-year-old into Planned Parenthood anymore to get an abortion without at least telling one of their parents.
We're talking with Peter Breen of the Thomas More Society, who is talking about a recent victory for the pro-life community. And, in the pro-life community, sometimes we tend to, perhaps, as one could reasonably expect, is to accentuate the negative and think about all the challenges we have ahead of us. But today is a cause for celebration. Today is a cause to pat ourselves on the back and to think about what's possible in the future. Pete, before we take a break here, but can you tell us, so what is different today? What will be different today than will be different after August 4th? So how does it work today if an underage child finds themselves pregnant with regard to their relationships with their parents? And what will be different after this law takes effect?
Well, today, anyone can take a child as young as 13, 12, whatever age they are pregnant, into an abortion facility, put the money on the table, and immediately get an abortion. And so within a few hours you're out and you've been given an abortion. Fortunately, on August 4th, then at least the abortion provider is going to have to provide 48 hours prior to the procedure. Will have to provide actual notice to one of the parents of that child.
And how would that happen? Is there a phone call? Is there an email? Is there a letter? What constitutes a notice?
I'll be honest with you, Bob. We're going to have to see how that works. But usually in the law, actual notice is like the notice that you get when somebody files a lawsuit against you. So they actually either need to bring something right to your door. Most abortion providers, also to cover themselves because they don't want to run afoul of the law, you hope, they would want to get some sort of actual contact and confirmation that they are speaking to a parent of the child. So likely it would be an in-person, if an abortion provider wanted to try a phone call, I'm sure they're not going to be advised by their lawyers to do it that way. They're going to want some sort of proof that this is the parent. So we're hoping they won't monkey around with the law that way.
So today, in the state of Illinois, an underage child, under 18, who finds themselves pregnant can go into any clinic, a hospital, I take it, and they could have this procedure with the only person knowing, either maybe nobody else knows, or they could be accompanied by a friend or somebody else. And so no notification to the parent exists under Illinois law today.
Right, nothing. And again, usually it's not the 14-year-old taking herself. It's usually an abusive, so a boyfriend who's committed a statutory rape. It's the boyfriend's parents. Other folks, not her parents, taking her in for this procedure and usually coercing her into that procedure, because I mean, most 14-year-olds do not want to subject themselves to abortions.
And unfortunately, as we can imagine, if somebody who finds themselves in that sort of situation probably has a lot of fear and concern too. And obviously, we've all been teenagers, and we remember what those hard things to face our parents and how difficult it was to tell our parents. And I would hope that the law now will reinforce the parents' rights. So now it would be more difficult for a minor to undergo such a procedure without a parent knowing about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I mean, it's a matter of preventing the coercion that goes on when you don't have a parent involved. And I mean, we don't let 14-year-olds take aspirins without
right.
a parent's permission.
Right.
Why a major medical and elective procedure?
We have to take a break. It is 10 after 9 here in Chicago on a beautiful Monday morning on the 20th of July. We're talking with Peter Breen, and we're talking about a cause to celebrate today. We're talking about what we hope will be the enforcement of a law in Illinois on parental notification. The first time Illinois has ever had such a law. We want to hear your comments and your concerns, and we want to hear your input. Maybe you were one of the people that called in on against House Bill 317. We'll discuss what 317 was later. And also, I think many listeners will remember House Bill 2354. And what we want to do is talk about how our efforts in Springfield tie into Pete's efforts in the court. The call-in number here is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this brief message.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Mawusi, a retreat for anyone who ministers in Black Catholic communities, means in the hand of God. Mawusi is designed especially for men and women, religious, lay ministers, deacons, catechists, RCIA leaders, lectors, and youth ministers. This retreat is a time for catechetical and spiritual formation, transformation, inspiration, and relaxation. Come and experience the richness of African American spirituality and culture. The Mawusi Retreat will be held Friday, July 24th to Sunday, July 26th at the Techne Towers Retreat Center, 2001 Waukegan Road in Techne, Illinois. For more information, contact the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-534-8040. That's 312-534-8040 to register for the Mawusi Retreat.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. It is 9:14 a.m. here in Chicago on Monday, July 20th, a beautiful Monday morning here. We're talking with Peter Breen of the Thomas More Society, and we're talking about Pete's excellent work representing our interests in front of the various judicial venues that he has been required to do so to make sure that a parental notification law goes into effect here in Illinois. It looks like that's going to happen August 4th. The number here to call in if you want to talk to Pete and myself about the parental notification law, what it means, and also what is the future? What is the next thing the pro-life movement should be working towards? The number is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. You know, Pete, before the break, we started talking about the differences between what will happen today, where there is no requirement that parents be notified that their underage daughter will be undergoing such a procedure, and hopefully on August 4th, when the law goes into effect, where there will be notice. And as you were mentioning, that notice could require probably some sort of written communication. So there will be, I think you said, a 48-hour requirement between the time notice comes and the procedure could be scheduled. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And,
good.
Again, I mean, they use the words actual notice, so
okay.
We'll have to see how that plays out. But again, it's going to be a heck of a lot better than what we've got right now.
And Pete, you know, one of the things that I think we want to talk about here is, you know, you have a better appreciation probably, and maybe I do as well, than some of our listeners for, you know, can you just outline some, why did this take so long? Not so much in terms of the legal arguments, but what were the practical arguments being communicated to you in the court procedure? And so, you know, like, why would anybody object to this?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Bob. I think most folks ask that question. This is an 80% approval issue. When you put it to folks, even folks who claim to be pro-choice, they will say, you know, they'll look at you kind of like you've got another, you know,
right.
A second head that you're saying, what do you mean a child can be taken for an abortion without me knowing about it? So from that perspective, I don't know why. We do know why, because we have something called Personal PAC in this state, which is a big abortion PAC, and as of the last reporting period, I think they had $580,000 on hand.
Right.
But that's a
political issue. Right.
It's a political issue, but one, too, that you know, politics informs opinions of the public and vice versa, and then informs our law. I guess I'd love to say that the law is this pristine and you know, untouchable ideal, but really it's informed by politics and public opinion. And, you know, in this particular case, we had a change in our Supreme Court, our Illinois Supreme Court, and so the new court members saw that there was no reason that the particular procedural rules that needed to be issued in order to have this law go into effect, they saw no reason to delay that. And, you know, obviously they can't really talk about what they think about the decision not to issue those rules back in 96 was, but, you know, I mean, I can only say that maybe there's been a change in public opinion in the politics here in the state and in our court.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to note also, and perhaps you could shed some light on this, obviously now the way the U.S. Supreme Court has laid out the law of the land, each state has some authority to regulate the abortion procedures, what it can do and what it can't do. It obviously, due to the Roe v. Wade decision, has to be legal in all states. But what the court has basically allowed the states to do is to say you can put certain, not barriers, but you can put certain restrictions on the abortion procedure, such as what we're talking about, parental notification. But it has to be legal. We can't outlaw it per se. Now that we have, so we have, in essence, 50 states doing 50 different things. No two are exactly alike. But Pete, is there any evidence to suggest that, for example, when our state will enact this parental notification statute, it will reduce or increase, or what effect will it have on the number of abortions performed to underage minors? And also, secondarily, what do the other states around us do, like Missouri, Indiana, Wisconsin?
Well, in terms of the effect of the law, parental involvement laws, so notice or consent laws, reduce abortion rates.
That's a fact.
Period. That is a fact. They reduce abortion rates. And you can, just from a conceptual or a common sense viewpoint, you say, well, look, you know, more folks talk to their parents about these decisions, and parents will step up and say, hey, you know, I don't want you to have an abortion, and, you know, we'll support you and work with you and either make an adoption plan for the child or figure out a way to parent that child. So, I mean, it does reduce the abortion rate. In fact, it even has been shown in some studies to reduce the teen pregnancy rate.
Interesting.
Well, because folks realize, oh my goodness, if I get pregnant, I'm going to have to tell my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just go off and get an abortion anymore. So, you know, I mean, folks, people are rational animals. I mean, we may do crazy things sometimes, but folks do act based on what the laws teach.
And also, I think what you said, which is a key phrase, is when the parent understands, more times than not, when they communicate that phrase, "We will support you," a different outcome is usually what we notice. In other words, there's more of a chance that the parent and the child will choose life as opposed to terminating it when nobody knows, which is the situation we have today.
Right. And if I may, I want to give you a case that we had in Arkansas. A young lady from Arkansas, 15 years old, she was pregnant by her boyfriend, who I believe was 16, and she had talked to her parents. They were good evangelical Christians. They said, "We're going to support you," and she said, "Okay, we're going to have the baby," and all of that. But the boyfriend and the boyfriend's parents did not stop pressuring her to have an abortion. But Arkansas has a parental involvement law. So what happened, one night, after everybody had gone to bed, the boyfriend came to the girlfriend, retrieved her from her home without her parents' knowledge. She and the boyfriend's family got her on a plane to Chicago. The next morning she had an abortion in Chicago, and her parents woke up not knowing where their child was. And then after the abortion procedure, they put her back on the airplane, and she was back in Arkansas, you know, about 24 hours after she'd left. And her parents now are left with their daughter, who has had an abortion, who has been subjected to an abortion. And, you know, they were going to support. And if they'd had to been notified, they could have intervened and, you know, cut her off from this boy.
And the reason that situation has existed in the past is due to Illinois' lack of a parental notification law. In this case, right. So if this law were in effect during that time period that you just gave us, the likelihood of that happening would have been virtually, well, it would have, it may not have happened.
Right. Well, those parents would have
been notified.
I mean, these parents came to us. They actually drove up to see us because they were looking for whatever legal action that we could pursue. And and there really was nothing.
Really,
unfortunately. I mean, they drove up here on New Year's Eve to visit with us.
Wow.
Because they were so distraught over this and, you know, over the impact on their daughter. And you know that they, like many parents, if they found out that their child was in Chicago about to have an abortion, but they got the 48-hour notice, they would have been on the next airplane up, or the next, you know, they would have hopped in the car and come up here and retrieved their daughter and taken her home to, you know, to be cared for instead of to be subjected to this major medical procedure.
The number is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. If you wish to join our conversation talking about the enactment of the parental notification law that will soon go into effect in Illinois, which we hope will be August 4th, the long court battle seems to be over. If I understand, Pete, the only option then to the entities that oppose enforcement of this law would be what? Appealing to the United States Supreme Court, I take it.
Well, you know, there are several things that they could do, and it's the ACLU would make this decision, and they can either petition for rehearing en banc, which is to all the judges on the Seventh Circuit, or they can petition for certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court. However, the way this decision was written, it was written by the member, if you want to put quotes around this, he's the probably the one that would not necessarily be seen as the pro-life judge on the court. And so he wrote the decision and wrote it in a way that really shredded the ACLU's arguments. And so most folks who have looked at this said, you know, they really don't have anything to gain other than delay by making these petitions, various petitions. And frankly, at some point, as an attorney, you have professional pride in making, you know, valid and legitimate arguments. And so hopefully they will not pursue this line of argumentation, which nobody, frankly, you know, we were sitting here going, what are they arguing?
It was
really a crazy theory, and one that, you know, we wish had been nipped in the bud a long time earlier. But, you know, as it was, we got a good, solid victory there. And again, I mean, the Seventh Circuit, they just shredded that argument in their opinion.
So we have virtual, what is it, a legal checkmate we're quickly approaching upon.
Oh, thank heavens. Yeah,
we hope so.
Right. Well, then the fight's going to shift back to your arena and our shared arena as Catholics, the legislature in Springfield.
And that's what we'll talk about next. Well, we're going to take another quick break here on the Catholic Conference Radio Hour, talking with Pete Breen of the Thomas More Society. And the number is 312-255-8408. 8408. And what we are learning here is that the parental notification law will go into effect very soon, within 2 or 3 weeks, we're hoping. And then we're going to take maybe a switch a little bit of the emphasis and talk about, now that it looks like the court proceeding might be winding up, how does that affect the legislative arena? We want to talk about, where do we go next in the pro-life movement, and what's the next significant breakthrough that we can accomplish together? This is Bob Gilligan talking with Peter Breen. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this message.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this 2-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd at St. Francis of Rome, 1500 South 59th Court in Cicero. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference talking to Peter Breen of the Thomas More Society a little about the implementation and the lifting of the injunction for the parental notification law in Illinois that will occur on August 4th. The number is 312-255-8408. Peter, one of the things we were talking about before the break is making the transition from the judicial arena into the legislative arena. We've seen two attempts in the state of Illinois recently to change the law such that your work would be nullified. We will recall that, I think it was last session, there was a strong push in Springfield to enact what they called House Bill 2354. And many listeners will remember it for probably the main reason, which was the attack on right of conscience laws in the state. Many people were referring to this as the Illinois FOCA bill. The conference and your organization and many others out there led the fight in Springfield to make sure that law didn't pass. But that bill also had some other provisions in it that would have nullified some of your work. And if I recall correctly, one of them had to do with changing the law such that the state could not make any further restrictions on the abortion procedure. Is that correct?
Well, and what they would have done was wiped away every single restriction on abortion, even the very, very minor ones that we had prior to this Parental Notice Act. But really, the thing that they were shooting for was, because they had some inclination that we were going to win in the Seventh Circuit as well.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to preempt it before they would have had to actually attack parental notice, because parental notice is a pretty heavily favored measure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they didn't want to necessarily directly attack it. But, I mean, that bill was just, I mean, pretty much everything that we're against as Catholics was in that bill. Public funding of abortion.
Right. That's
as
right.
You said, you know, Catholic institutions having to, quote, assist in abortions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, incredible stuff that, and it was really interesting. If you went down the list of provisions, those were issues that if you took a poll of Illinois citizens, they would have said between 70 or 80% would have been opposed to each and every one of those. But somehow that bill almost made it to the floor of the Illinois House and almost got passed.
Yeah. What is it, Pete, in your experience, and I know you follow this closely both in your personal life and in your professional life, that allows this debate, and we should be grateful that the legislation did not pass. So we're kind of talking about, we're trying to prove, discuss something that we should probably be grateful for. But even the fact that it got this far in the legislative debate, what do you attribute? What reasons are there that legislators even entertained such a bill, and the entity pushing it was so strong yet stopped, but nonetheless it did cause us all a lot of work and concern. Too much on the defensive, not much on the offense, I guess is what I'm trying to say. What do you think? What's going on in our culture and in the political environment that's causing these things to happen?
Well, we are at a turning point, Bob. Now, and we've had, along with this, the Parental Notice of Abortion Act being the greatest victory for pro-life, we also, in response to House Bill 2354, the Illinois FOCA, we had the greatest grassroots response by
right.
pro-life people since Roe v. Wade, and you know, I mean, the mm-hmm. folks that have been down there since we were in diapers, they told us that. They said, "My goodness, you know, we've never seen this kind of response." And so we're it's kind of like two tectonic plates
shifting,
ripping against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one hand, the reason that this was so strongly pushed against the will of Illinoisans was the money and the political power wielded by the abortion providers through their personal PAC, is what they call it. And that's, you know, Planned Parenthood and ACLU, and all of those folks helped to back this. So everybody who's interested in full abortion all the time, you know, for any reason, in Illinois, they pushed that. You know, they had $580,000 at the end of the last reporting period on hand to spend. And, you know, I mean, the Illinois legislature, being like any legislature, they respond to money.
Yes.
But they respond more strongly when they see their constituents telling them in no uncertain terms, "Hey, we are against this, and when you get, you know, you all have to run for re-election, and when you do, we're going to remember this this particular vote."
It'll be interesting to see in the next election cycle whether issues such as this, the debate over 2354, in conjunction with what we've been reading in the newspaper lately about the inability to deal with the state's fiscal problems, will lead to much upheaval and perhaps contested primaries, contested general election races, more people being engaged in a political process as opposed to few, which what I would argue only helps our situation. I think the more voices out there for us, the better off we are. Because at the end of the day, I think, as you had just indicated, we do have the grassroots support. We may not have the money, but we do have the grassroots advocacy. The question for us is, how can we change the efforts that we've been so successful on in leading the charge against something in now and trying to lead the charge in support of something? That, I think, is the challenge for all of us as we deal with how to tackle these issues for the next legislative session.
Right.
The number is 312-255-8408, and I'm going to ask for your suggestions and your input as to where should we go from here. We now have a parental notification going in a statute. We have some other challenges ahead of us in Illinois. As Pete indicated, I'm certain that there will be legislation like 23-4 in the future. But also, maybe we want to talk a little bit about another challenge ahead of us, which is what's going on in Congress with the health care legislation that's being contemplated in the United States Congress now, and what does it include? We've been reading in the press about various accounts of whether or not abortion-related procedures should be funded or not as a part of the administration. Well, the administration doesn't really have a plan, but as a part of the congressional plan to deal with health care reform. So there's many challenges out there. There are many opportunities. As Pete indicated, it looks like the sands are shifting a bit, and maybe this is a time for further engagement in the political process, not less. This is Bob Gilligan. We're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with Peter Breen of the Thomas More Society. And we want to hear your input as to the next challenges ahead in the pro-life community and what should we be tackling next. There's a lot of possibilities out there, and we're going to talk about some of those when we return from our break. The number is 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing their gifts in many ways.
Whatever their situation, however connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's an opportunity for them to
meet good people their own age,
to deepen their faith and spirituality,
to make connections between faith and everyday life,
and explore the things that matter most.
It's an opportunity for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they, in turn, can pass it along to their children.
We encourage you to personally invite every young adult you know to Theology on Tap. It begins July 12th at 42 locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
This is Bob Gilligan. Welcome back to our program. We're talking with Peter Breen of the Thomas More Society. Pete, we have a couple phone calls on the line here, but before we do that, real briefly, we kind of jumped into the topic. I just kind of introduced you and assumed everybody knew who you were and what Thomas More Society is. Briefly, Thomas More Society, what is it and what should people know about it?
Okay, we are a national public interest law firm that focuses in three areas. One is in defending and supporting the sanctity of life. One is in supporting the sanctity of marriage. And then, as well, we support efforts to keep religious liberties alive and well under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution.
And that's all?
Yeah, we keep pretty busy.
Yeah, but, I was going to say.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. I mean, our home state here in Illinois has had such difficulty with the life issues that we've had a lot of business here locally.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are busier. That is a joke there, but I don't know what it is. It's too early in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks. I should have jumped that in from the beginning, but just so people know who are they talking to and who we are. I'm not sure if I knew who I am. It's 9:37 a.m. Let's take Jim. Jim, you're on the line.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I wanted to say to Tom, thanks very much for the work that you're doing with Thomas More, and Bob, thanks very much for what
you're
doing.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm an attorney with an MBA in hospital administration and have followed your work, and I just wanted to let you know that you have a grateful public behind you.
Good. We need more.
Yes. You had just asked what suggestions you might have.
Sure.
I'm thinking that perhaps when we look at the pro-life issue, there's some other religious traditions with whom there's maybe some friction on the religious liberty or lawfare front, but with whom, for example, Islam, we might share a lot in the pro-life arena, as it would also apply to family life. And I'm wondering about your thoughts on how we can perhaps parlay our common ground on pro-life issues with some of the religious traditions with whom we have some issues that aren't such on common ground.
Sure. Jim, did Cardinal George make you call me? I'm just curious. No, Jim, that's an excellent question. The only reason I respond that way is it's interesting you bring that up because just about in late June, we have been having with Sister Joan McGuire's office here, the Ecumenical Interreligious Affairs Office, some substantive conversations with members of the Muslim faith. The Cardinal has been having a series of dinners called the Catholic Muslim Dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and during that those meetings, there has been a strong current in the dialogue to work more cooperatively with particularly the Muslim faith. As you indicated, and many of our listeners should be aware of this, is that the Muslims have, and I don't want to speak even near on behalf of what their faith believes and not believes, but we believe in many of the same overlapping themes about the right to life and the sanctity of marriage. The Muslims also are striving, as you can well imagine, for, if you will, I don't know how to say this correctly, so I may bungle my words, respectability. They want to be with other respected religious faiths to help them bridge the gap away from the more radical components of that we've all become familiar with in the Muslim faith. And they're looking to partner with, I'll say mainstream, if you will, and that's probably not a good word, but religious denominations. And so we have started some of those conversations. We don't have exactly the same tenets and exactly the same beliefs, but I think there's enough there that we can work together. And the reason I mentioned that comment about the Cardinal George is he has urged me to do that, and we are trying to build those relationships as best we can. And I should also add that the Orthodox Jewish faith as well has not exactly the same beliefs, but once again, but I think there's, especially in the question of marriage, a strong coalition partner. And
I think that all three of the religious traditions can easily find themselves under attack by the same party.
We do.
Put it that way.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. I live in Rogers Park, so I'm familiar with the Hasidic community in the western part, living in peaceful proximity to the Muslim Pakistani community on Divan. And, the freshly opened, if you can believe it or not, Sharia Law Center on Western Avenue.
Hmm.
So it seems that we have a lot of moving parts that are right here, and perhaps we can create through this kind of dialogue some kind of convergence between these faith traditions to bring Abraham's boys and girls back to the party together.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fascinating? Yeah, and I think we have leaders now in those organizations that are willing to try to address those issues as best we can.
Well, sorry to take so much time.
No, not at all. Good point, Jim.
Thank you, Jeff.
Carry on. Thanks a lot for all you do.
Great. Thank you for your call, too. We have another caller on the line. I believe it's Ray from Oak Brook. Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So it's I'm very late that Peter Breen is running for office. Is there another guest there? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, just me and Bob. But,
yeah.
But we're not talking running for office right now. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give you a little plug there. But as far as pro-life is concerned, and can you speak a little bit about the Illinois Republican Party? How's that? I'm very troubled. I'm an activist, have been for a long time, try to be a good Catholic and an activist, and I'm pro-life. Talk a little bit about, if you will, the Illinois Republican Party and Mark Kirk and Andy McKenna backing Mark Kirk. I'm sad we lost Chicago with the failed Catholic leaders there that call themselves Catholic and they're pro-death. Can you talk about the U.S. Senate race? I'm very troubled by it.
Sure. Ray, now his Kirk has not announced yet. Is that correct?
Well, he just did this.
Did he today? Okay, I knew he was planning on it. Okay, Pete, do you want to go first, and I'll go second?
I'll tell you.
Ray, thanks for the call.
Oh yeah, no, thank you, Ray.
Where do we start?
Well, here's the thing: we've got to remember that in Illinois we have a unique situation where there are both Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature who are pro-life. And there are Republicans and Democrats who will say they're pro-choice but are still in favor of reasonable restrictions on abortion. And then the third category is there are both Republicans and Democrats that are totally pro-choice, which is it's a very strange situation we have in our state. A guy like Mark Kirk, though, that issue I don't know if you lived in the 10th Congressional District where he currently represents, the folks who wrote in with the FOCA postcards, which was mm-hmm. sponsored by mm-hmm. The USCCB and mm-hmm. the Catholic conferences mm-hmm. Around the country, his response to those postcards were that he was actually in favor of reasonable restrictions on abortion.
Hmm.
And that's
hmm.
a change in position from where he had been. So there is some light with these different political folks, because and most politicians want to get reelected, so they want to do what the public believes in. And so if we show them these polls, we show them that we have the strength, and we make these phone calls and really lobby our legislators on these issues of life, a lot of these guys are kind of in the middle. And if you lobby them directly and really get to them, get your message to them and talk to them, they will change their mind. Now, and that's easier to do on the state level than it is on the federal level. But in this particular instance, Mr. Kirk has actually softened his position on abortion in a good way.
That's interesting, Pete. You know, and we should probably also talk a little bit about, there's a piece of federal legislation that I'm kind of intrigued by. It's called the Pregnant Women's Support Act. During the campaign, I alluded to this in my opening remarks, but during the campaign, there was a big debate between, I'll say, the Obama contingency and the McCain contingency about, where they were in the life issue. And it was generally regarded that McCain fit more of the pro-life bill than the president who won because of his public pronouncements about changing laws that would restrict abortions that we've talked about, and his desire to overturn Roe v. Wade. As we all know, though, on the state level, the question today in front of us is not overturning Roe v. Wade. State reps, in large part, don't have any say on Roe v. Wade. That's just the fact of the matter. And also, I think the question before us today is, what can we do together, no matter what your label is, to reduce the number of abortions? Let's focus on that as the goal. Let's reduce abortions. And under the current administration, the Obama administration, I think a reasonable person can deduce that, Roe v. Wade is not probably where we want to go today. In the future, yes. But what can we do to reduce abortions? And that Pregnant Women's Support Act, and maybe we should do a show on this in the future, discusses just that. And I think your response to Ray's question was a good one in terms of no matter where you may label yourself and Representative Kirk being considered to be kind of pro-choice, what can we do to persuade him to get on the bandwagon to reduce abortions? That's the challenge in front of all of us. Let's keep our eye on that right now in front of us at the state level, and then let's work towards the repeal of Roe v. Wade in the future. I think that's kind of where we're going as a community here.
And Bob, I've actually sat down with Representative Lincoln Davis, who is
he is a good guy.
Well, it's kind of funny. My family is from Tennessee.
That's right.
And so we know him from way back. He is a pro-life Democrat and actual, real, honest-to-goodness pro-lifer. And I think the sense among most Democrats is that they want to get away from this abortion issue as quickly as possible, because they know it isn't. If we really debate abortion and start talking about it in a campaign setting, in a political setting, the pro-life side wins.
It does.
I mean, we have the cute little babies, and quite frankly, we have these lovely CatholicVote.com ads. We have all these creative pieces that have come out, and we win that debate if the debate is allowed to occur.
So
the Pregnant Women's Support Act, as long as it's not the, there was a version of an act that was trying to, quote, reduce abortions by putting condoms in everybody's school desks, and the equivalent of that, I mean, that's not going to reduce abortions.
Right.
But as long as it's true effective assistance to pregnant women, it's things like abstinence and chastity education, those work.
Yep.
Parental notice laws, things like that, that works.
Yep. Yep, we agree. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit at the break. Brian's bugging me here to take another break. It is 9:47 a.m., and if you want to try to get in the last 10 minutes, and please feel free to do so, especially if we have anybody listening from northern Indiana, feel free to give us a call. The number is 312-255-8408. We're talking with Preeta Breen from the Thomas More Society. We're talking about the parental notification law. We're talking about what we can do in Illinois to reduce the number of abortions. We're having a great conversation. Please join us. 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a Year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's West Side. And our first Scripture School in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053, that's 312-534-8053, and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
Catholic Charities' 12th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 22nd at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, players will have the chance to golf on the newly renovated Dubs Dread course. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Mary Ann Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet local celebrities, including former White Sox player Ron Kittle. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation in the Golf Invitational can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit us on the web at www.catholiccharities.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking with Pete Breen from the Thomas More Society, talking about where do we go next in the pro-life movement. Your suggestions, your comments. We have another about 8-9 minutes here left to go in our program. We were talking a little bit before the break about the Pregnant Women Support Act that is being supported by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And I think Pete had alluded to a prior version of it, which was not really that good, but it seems like it's a new and improved version. And actually, I was just in Washington last week working on this a little bit, talking with some members of the Illinois congressional delegation, including Representative Aaron Schock and Representative Roskam, and seeing if they would sign on to this bill. It's being led by Lincoln Davis from Tennessee. And who's the Senate sponsor? I think it's Bob Casey from Pennsylvania. The numbers are H.R. 2035. That's the House version. And the Senate version is Senate Bill or S-1032. Common sense solution that I think we can get all people, all sides of the political debate to support. How can we reduce the number of abortions in our country, not only in our state? Pete, before we close out, maybe in Illinois, where do we go from here? Parental notification goes into effect, as we said, on the 4th. I think we've covered that in terms of that's a great stride forward, a great advance forward, thanks to your efforts and many other efforts out there. We've talked in Illinois about ultrasound, some other things. What do you think the next territory is to, in terms of the political debate? Where do we go next?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We now have something to defend in Springfield.
Yeah.
So we actually have some territory we've won. And when you look at kind of the, if it's a big game of risk or what have you, we now have a continent. And, you know, it's kind of a new feeling for everybody. And we've got to figure out what to do with it.
Right.
So, you know, and usually what you do when you get one of these, you start to build and grow. And,
sure.
And so that has to be our aim. You know, there are two ways to do this. One is you can directly put protections on, you know, for women on abortion. So waiting periods, ultrasound bills, things like that.
Right.
The other is you can come after funding. And, you know, that's something that people, I think we haven't looked at in this state, but in other states,
right,
they've done. You know, if you have you know, particular things that are going to Planned Parenthood that really should be going to a local government health clinic, there are funding maybe that needs to be shifted. As well, our abstinence funding in this state had been stripped,
yes,
by Governor,
right,
Blagojevich. And,
right,
you know, who knows what pay-to-play occurred to make that happen. So we have a lot of work to do, but really the way you do that is you elect good representatives, you get rid of the bad ones, and you lobby the heck out of your representatives and your senators. You get to know them, and you make very clear your view on these issues. And I mean, I think there is nothing better than for every pro-life individual to get involved in the political process. we as Catholic laity are called to do that. You know, right. That's not the bishop's jobs.
Right.
They
right.
are there to preach to us and tell us how to get it, you know.
Teach.
Give us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're preaching and teaching, but, you know, they've done their job, really,
right.
I mean, incredibly, on many issues of life lately, particularly lately. It's our turn to pick up the ball and run with it.
Yeah, and it's interesting too to note that. I would agree with that. It's time that we continue these advocacy efforts, and I think we've done a reasonably good job of that. And I think the challenge for us is going forward is how to do that. I hear a lot more attention recently, and maybe get your comment about this is, you know, crisis pregnancy centers. It seems do a very good job, and I know you've been instrumental in setting up a few of those, and that's a real tangible way that we can reach out to women who find themselves to be pregnant and provide some support. I think what you said earlier, and one of the gems underlying the Parental Notifications Act, is that it shows that parents are there to hopefully support their children. And if there's not a parent involved, maybe a crisis pregnancy can be there to help support a woman in facing a difficult decision. You know, maybe that's the next frontier, too, is what can we do at the state level to get some more funding for crisis pregnancy centers? Because they're so desperate of money, as you well know. Fundraising's difficult.
Well, and Bob, I'll tell you, what a crisis pregnancy center can do, and I've been very much involved with actually counseling pregnant women who are considering abortion myself, so this is very close to my heart. Pregnancy centers can actually assist young women in telling their parents about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what these parental involvement laws will also do is they will drive up traffic to crisis pregnancy centers,
good.
Thankfully. You know, the Thomas More Society was trying and is continuing to try to get Choose Life license plates
in
Illinois, and we're actually petitioning the United States Supreme Court to have them take our case so that, you know, as we have environmental activism plates, we have peace activism plates, that we should also be allowed to have pro-life plates in the state of Illinois to help support, you know, the pregnancy centers and their adoption promotion efforts. So we're... That's really the way to do it. You know, you don't want to add to the tax burden of folks in a recession. And, you know, license plates are optional. You can choose to show your support for a pregnancy center on the back of your car.
Yeah, I think anything we can do also to get the word out to support those efforts would be supportive as well. There's so much work to do, and as the Catholic community, we continue to respond. We continue to respond, but we also realize as we respond, there's so many more challenges in front of us. I know that there are a lot of people doing a lot of different things, and I think one of our callers today had a good suggestion, and it's a novel approach too, and it's something that we're going to be working on a little bit over the summer and the fall, is how to reach out with different faith groups that maybe not traditionally viewed as having an advocacy position on protecting innocent human life, such as, you know, the Muslim community, Orthodox Jewish community, and some others. The evangelicals have been there and continue to be there. But, you know, that's not enough. In a state like Illinois, where the political situation is so dynamic, there's so many interested parties, there's so many different interest groups that more voices are needed, more coalitions are needed to help counteract those very, as you pointed out early in our program, entities such as Planned Parenthood and Personal PAC and the American Civil Liberties Union that have such strong financial support. And that's probably something we need to look at in the future, is what can we do? And I know there's individuals that are doing this, to look at what we can do politically to help financially support candidates that take on the pro-life positions and stick to it. Because it's tough being a state rep and a state senator in Springfield. With that said, I think we're going to try to wrap up our show. We should thank Jim, I believe it was, who called from Chicago, and we should thank Ray as well for his number of questions that he brought to the table. I'm not sure if we adequately answered all of them, but we gave it a shot. Pete, while we have a minute or so, any concluding comments from you about your work at the Thomas More Society?
Well, you know, here's what we all need to do. And, you know, Bob, there are so many opportunities out there to advance the cause of life. And the Thomas More Society, we've been able to do, you know, to plow our little field that we've been given to plow on this issue. But everyone in every parish, in every community across our state and across our country has opportunities available. And I can't emphasize enough, don't worry about the big picture.
Right.
Get your work done, because you've been given a particular field to plow. And that may be, you know, letting your neighbors know about the kinds of bills that they're bringing up in Springfield and Washington. It's going to be volunteering at your pregnancy center, volunteering on political initiatives and on political campaigns. It's going to be potentially running for office. It's going to be all sorts of things. But you have opportunities available to you. Take them. Get involved in your parish pro-life group if you have one.
start one if you don't. So there are opportunities there, and I can't emphasize enough. Don't worry, just start working.
You know, that's true, because each one of us are called to do different things. Each one of us has different talents, different levels of ability, different comfort levels. Not everybody's going to run for political office. Not everybody's going to start a pro-life community at their parish. But, you know, maybe somebody can, you know, volunteer to make a couple phone calls or do whatever needs to be done. Each one of us is called to do something different. I think you bring up a good point, Pete, and it's probably a good concluding note to wrap up the show on. We're all called to do something different, but the main thing is that we have to do it. Pete, thanks so much for your time. You've been a great guest. It's been a good program. Thanks, everybody, for calling and for listening. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We'll be back on the third Monday of August next month to talk about a different public policy topic. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling, everybody. See you next month.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.